from the heart of the Nordic.
Welcome to our 100th broadcast live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. And we're 100 years old today.
And that's how old he is.
Wonderful.
Yes, Dr. Palmer, and that's how old he is. You got to see him.
I know. And we hope everyone in our audience is young enough to appreciate us today.
And Dr. Palmer, how did we ever last 100 broadcasts?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. How else would we last?
And today's a wonderful day. It's the Immaculate Conception. It's the second week of Advent tomorrow. And we got two wonderful guests. Why don't you introduce them?
Well, I'd be happy. Can I go back into my regular voice now?
By the way, he's actually...
Let's pretend it's over.
By the way, that was Dr. Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo.
Young Dr. Palmer, please.
And I'm young Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
We most certainly do. And we have two wonderful guests today who are going to talk about their lives and the missions that they are on in their lives. We, first of all, have Aaron Van Oofel.
You should have made me say it, Aaron. I knew you shouldn't have said
listen,
it.
Listen, you think I'm bad? He's worse.
I'm 100 times worse.
Aaron will do just fine.
Aaron is here, right. And Aaron, as you will hear, is working for the sainthood of Saint Marie.
Servant of God, Sister Marie de Mondant Grance, Daughter of Charity.
Okay. And that's what
you... Foundress of Mary's House in Ephesus, Turkey.
Okay. Then that's your mission. And Teresa Orgello is a longtime friend,
yes,
but also is very much involved in a healing ministry. And maybe you will talk about that as we go on and how you got into it.
Yes, I very much would like to.
And it is so important for us to realize that none of this would have happened if Mary did not say yes. And none of our lives would have ever been changed if Mary didn't say yes. Mother Teresa said, if you say no to Mary, if she said no, there would be no Jesus. Right, Tony?
Absolutely. No. To know Mary is to know Jesus.
K-N-O-W.
K-N-O-W. And no Mary, N-O, no Jesus. You taught me that, Palmer.
Well, you got to watch what I teach you, though. I go back into my old voice.
Well, you're my mentor. You're much older than I am, and I follow you.
Aaron, tell us a little bit about Sister Marie and how you've gotten into this whole mission.
Well, the mission really came to me. I was living in London. My husband had been transferred over there with our five boys, and the very first luncheon that I was introduced to go to by someone I had met, sat me down next to a woman who I really believe was providentially placed next to me. And we started to talk all about the saints, and I was telling her how much I loved the saints and followed the saints and just dove into their lives and read about them and prayed to them and asked for their intercession. And she said, well, if you love the saints, you have to meet my friend who is married to someone whose aunt is the foundress of Mary's House. There's four saints in the family and two popes.
Wow.
And
that's Sister Marie's family.
And that's Sister Marie's family. And the woman who had told me was from Peru. The woman that married the person who's associated to Sister Marie is from Argentina. Mm-hmm. And this nun that she was talking about, who I was most interested with Mary's House, was French. And immediately I knew that there was some big connection here with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we also were talking about the Infant of Prague. And I know that the Infant of Prague has been involved with this right from the start as well. And so I did wind up meeting this woman, Rosario, Baroness Rosario de Mondant Grance. And I was so interested in hearing about Mary's House. A friend of mine, Kay Cruz, had
now
gotten...
By Mary's House, you mean...
The very last dwelling place that the Blessed Virgin Mary lived in, the last 9 years of her life... in Ephesus, which is now Turkey. It was Asia Minor when Sister Marie was there, and it was the Holy Land when the apostles were all gathering the people for the very first churches. It's in the Diocese of Smyrna, which is one of the last of the seven churches. And anyway, Sister Marie, when she was a little girl, she had tremendous devotion to the Eucharist. They are from a very historic, noble family. Her mom and dad were Count and Countess of Grancey, which is in Burgundy, France. And she knew as a little girl that she wanted to devote her life. When she was very young, she was really steeped in the graces, and the Holy Spirit would move her to leave her castle that she was born in and venture out to help with the sick and the poor. And as early as 10, she was praying for a vocation to dedicate the rest of her life and to leave this life of nobility to become a servant of God, for God. And she became a daughter of charity at the age of 20. She entered into the mother house in Rue de Bac, where St. Catherine Laboureil received the miraculous medal. And after being there, she worked as a nurse and pharmacist and teacher and worked in orphanages. And in 1870, Anne Catherine Emmerich, who had the visions of the Blessed Virgin Mary's mm-hmm. life and Jesus's life, was able to have her visions published because Clemens Brentano, a German poet, had written down all of these visions that Anne Catherine Emmerich had, and it was now published in a book. There were two of them. One's called The Passion of Jesus, and the other is The Life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Sister Marie, while in France, read this book, and the Holy Spirit inspired her to leave her country of France and to go and find this house that Anne Catherine Emmerich described with such precise detail that she gave practically a treasure map of where the house would be found. And she talked about how the St. John had the house built during the time of persecution. After the beheading of St. James, they knew that they really needed to get out of the Jerusalem and get Mary to someplace safe. Ephesus was one of the safest places. They had religious tolerance.
Isn't it amazing to realize that these are people just like you and I following the Spirit?
Exactly. And it's very important to listen to those promptings. Yes. Because had Sister Marie thought, well, that's a crazy idea, yeah, and this must just be all in my head, we would not have this place. So she actually, it was very providential. You know, when God calls upon you, he doesn't leave you all alone. And he makes sure that other things happen in order for you to fulfill what he's calling you to do. He provides every grace through the Blessed Mother. And he had Pope Leo XIII call for missionaries to now come to that part of the Holy Land. And so Sister Marie immediately volunteered. She went with the Daughters of Charity. They were running a French hospital in Smyrna, and which is now called Izmir, if you've been to that area. And from the moment she got there, she started to ask the people living all around, do you know anything about Mary living here? Have you heard anything? And all of a sudden, she was told of stories of the earliest Christians who were descendants of the Ephesians, who had to flee up into the mountains. But once a year, on August 15th, they would have a pilgrimage to Ephesus in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so immediately she knew.
And of course, that's the Feast of the Assumption. For the listeners who may
not
know that.
And the reason why they went that day was because they had heard from their fathers and their fathers before them that a great light had appeared in the sky on that day. Mm-hmm. And so they were coming back to honor Mary, who is the very first church that was ever dedicated to Mary in the world was in Ephesus. And in order for that to happen, the person, according to canon law, had to have lived there or died there and spent time there. And so we know, especially with all of the popes having gone there, that, you know, this truly is the place.
And don't let me distract you from your story. I'm sorry I did that because the story is fascinating.
I'm happy.
He has a tendency to do that. Just ignore it.
That could be the Holy Spirit as well, and that's fine.
Quick question. Is this the house that Mary went to after the crucifixion of Jesus with St. John?
Yes. She spent some time still. She was in at Mount Zion for 3 years. She was in Jerusalem for another 3 years, and she was in Bethany for 3 years. And then after that, they fled to Ephesus. And there was already a Christian community there. We have a tremendous book that was written by Father Carl Schulte. It's called The Life of Sister Marie de Mandancranse and the House of Mary at Ephesus. And you can get that very easily at www.tanbooks.com, or you can go on our site, www.sister, as in sister marie.com, sister marie.com, and you can order it very easily, and it gives you all of the details. It shows you many of the fascinating pictures, but what's really interesting is it shows that God already set up a community of people that Mary was familiar with and knew, and it was just up in the mountains on Nightingale Hill, right outside of Ephesus, so she'd be able to have all the provisions that she needed and be able to pray, and the early Christians were able to do everything that they wouldn't have been able to do back in Jerusalem. And so here, Sister Marie is now in the area. She is looking for someone who could help her find the house because, as a daughter of charity, she looked just like the flying nun. She had the great big white coronet and a huge habit, and she knew she couldn't be going into the mountains herself. And there were French Vincentian priests called the Lazarus who were in the area as well, and she was able to talk them into an expedition. They went, and July 29th, 1891, they found the house. And afterwards, they knew that it was really important for them to secure the house. Sister Marie knew that this house needed to be a place of pilgrimage for all people, for all of the children of Mary, for every single one of us in every country, every religion. And so she was the one that was chosen, we believe, by God to purchase and restore and rebuild this house that is available to all of us today. It's especially available to all of you listening on the radio, that you can even go and on a virtual tour on our site, www.sistermarie.com, and you'll be able to enter into Mary's house spiritually. We have a beautiful prayer to Sister Marie, which has been exceptional. It is in the book, so if you order the book from tanbooks.com, the prayer card comes with it, and I'm telling you, you can also print it off of our website. It is so powerful that people who say, I didn't even know Sister Marie, she is healing me. We can say it right now together if you want.
Go ahead.
That would be great.
We thank God for giving us the privilege of Sister Marie de Mandancranse. Through her great generosity, she acquired the property at Ephesus, the home of Mary and St. John the Evangelist. We ask God and Sister Marie to continue to bless the cornerstone given to her. Around this cornerstone, we build our faith, and the powers of darkness will not prevail. We pray for God's will to be completely fulfilled through the intercession of Sister Marie. Amen. And we also believe that Sister Marie has been chosen for our times, especially even though she was born in 1837, she died in 1915. She has been someone that I've been told by many of the people in the church that she will be our intercessor with the Muslims. And as I had said, that the way that I got the hook to get involved with this was through my love of the saints and her having four saints in the family. One of the saints in the family from 1122 was an abbot of Cluny, and he was the very first person to translate the Quran for the Pope. And God's plan is providential, and it started a very, very long time ago. And I had heard about it just prior to 9/11. One of the women who's working very hard on this mission with me, Lorraine Fusaro, who takes care of our site and does a beautiful job and works on it tirelessly for us, she has a tremendous witness to Sister Marie, and I know that she'll be coming sometime in January to tell her part of the story. But the best part is that we get the testimonies of people who say, I prayed to Sister Marie, and she answered me the first time. A lot of the Jewish realtors are coming into the different religious stores that have Sister Marie's prayer card, and they say she's the only one selling real estate right now. And we believe that that could be because she bought Mary's house. And the stone that we refer to in the prayer is the stone, the hearthstone, the cornerstone that was built by the apostles. After Mary died, they turned Mary's bedroom into the very first church. And they moved the chimney, and from the hearthstones, when they were restoring the house so that pilgrims would be able to go in and pray, three of the stones were found, and they were given to Sister Marie, and that's the stone that we talk about. But we know the cornerstone is really Jesus. And with Sister Marie working with the Children of Mary as a daughter of charity, she started many groups, and she worked with the children in many ways, and she taught them to be living tabernacles and how to be close to Mary and to follow Mary in every way. We believe that when you're praying this prayer, you're laying the cornerstone and more stones to build a pathway to peace for all of the Children of Mary. And as you're praying, you're spiritually entering into the home of Mary, which is really her heart. And once we are in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, her triumph will happen.
It already is. Mm. I got one question.
Yes.
How could she be sure that that was the house of Mary?
What they did was they found archaeologists who were atheists who would really want to disprove that this is could possibly be the site. And they all came to the same conclusion that the house was definitely from the 4th century. There were stones from the 1st century. And they also found artifacts of an early Christian community that had terracotta molds of grapes and wheat. And they also found skeletons that were all facing their hands and their heads and their feet were all facing the house. And that was completely out of the norm because all of the bodies would always be buried facing Jerusalem. And they knew that with all of these signs that truly this was a place that where the early Christians absolutely were, and that the stones were from there. And what's really nice is that we ourselves don't have to say one thing or another. We need to just follow our holy fathers. And all of our recent popes have all gone there. In fact, Pope Paul VI, the very first pope to go there, John the 23rd went when he was nuncio in Turkey, but it was Pope Paul VI who went there as pope. He brought a gold chalice in Sister Marie's honor as well. And I'm excited because I was able to be present when Pope Benedict the 16th went to Ephesus in November of 2006. And it was really extraordinary to be able to be present for that and to see that his very first trip that he wanted to take outside of the Vatican was to Turkey. It was put off for a little bit because of some difficulties, but he made it there, and he knows how important this home is, not only for Catholics, but for all Christians and Orthodox and Muslims. It's 99% of the pilgrims who go there are Muslims. I have Muslims who pray the prayer. A daughter of a Muslim man was the very first person to be healed. So there are signs that she is going to be our intercessor with the Muslims. I can't think of any other time more important than now, especially with the Arab Spring that's going through the world. And what we all experienced here at home. And we know that Mary loves all of her children, and she's going to be the answer and the way that we're going to be able to achieve our love for one another.
How fascinating.
Aaron, I have one quick question. What's the Vatican's position on the house in Ephesus?
Well, since they're sending their top man, the Pope, our Holy Father, they're really in favor. And they've had footage and radio programs all associated throughout the years with the House of Mary. And they're very interested right now because, as I mentioned, she is in stage for canonization. The first step is Servant of God.
Right.
We're gathering with the tribunal and the historic commission, and they are working diligently. Once their reports are ready, they will send that to the Vatican, and if they see that she has heroic That's virtues right. and is of the standing to go forward, she'll be called venerable. Then we'll wait to see if there's a miracle. And right now, anyone who's listening, you could be the one that puts her over the top. So get started and let us know right away. Don't hesitate to get back in touch with us.
Are there any in the works now?
We have many in the works. Yeah, many. So. Yes. And many have been documented. But it's the church who declares something a miracle.
Right.
So we won't be able to even get to that point until after she's been declared venerable. Once they accept a documented miracle, she will be beatified and called blessed. And then we'll need one more miracle for her to become Saint Marie de Montdancrancet.
And two miracles.
Yes, exactly. And she's so good about answering prayers. I'm telling you, even my own dad, his foot had turned black. And my mother put the prayer card underneath the bed sheets where he was sleeping. And the very next day, they were perfect.
Wow.
There's been many, many instances. So if you do print out the prayer, one of the miracles that is in the file right now is from someone just printing it off of our sistermarie.com site.
Say it again, sister.
SisterMarie.com mm-hmm. is our website.
Aaron, yes. you're a wonderful guest, and you have such a tremendous story. We want to make sure we get you back here again.
Thank
so
you.
That we can,
promise us you'll come back.
I yeah. will come whenever the Holy Spirit requires. Thank
you
very much
okay.
for this opportunity
Out of
to
Mary
introduce her.
Came Jesus, and Jesus is this little child, and he changes the world. And we want to just listen to that. From Mary came Jesus.
Who would have thought that long ago, so very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger lay? And who would have thought this little child was born the King of Kings, the son of just a carpenter, but for whom the angels sing? And who would have thought that as he grew and with other children played, this child with whom they laughed and sang would die for them someday? And who would have thought this little child could make the blind man see, feed the hungry, make rich the poor, take away the sins of men and rise up this world remains the same. Empires have been built and fallen, only time has made a change. Nation against nation, brother against brother, men so filled with hatred, killing one another. And over half the world is starving, while our banner decency is torn. Debating over disarmament, killing children before they're born. And fools who march to win the right, to justify their sin. Every nation that has fallen from within. And in the midst of this darkness, there is a hope, a light that burns. This little child, the King of Kings, someday will return. Oh, I believe, and I will always sing, this little child, he is the King. Oh, I believe, and I will always sing, this little child, he is the King of Kings.
Who would have thought this little child is who the prophet said will return to judge this world, the living and the dead.
Oh, can't you see the Lord?
I wanted to put that on after Mary, because Mary always leads us to Jesus.
Amen.
And you can't have Mary without Jesus. It just doesn't happen that way. And we don't adore Mary. We use Mary to intercede for us to her son. But that's why I had to put that on. Yeah, and I'm glad you're patient with me, Anthony. Called you Anthony.
Dr. Palmer, I've been patient with you for 100 shows.
Dr. Palmer, sir.
Dr. Palmer, sir. No reason why I shouldn't continue to be patient.
But Aaron, your story, and it's not a story, but your testimony is very powerful. Wow. And that prayer is very powerful.
Yes.
And
The prayer. Print it up.
Yes.
She's remarkable. She really is an extraordinary
nun. So we would encourage any of our listeners to go to your website.
No matter what religion they are, because the testimonies come from every religion.
And say that prayer, especially for those who are ill in your family.
That's
absolutely
right. And I
absolutely
was told by an extraordinary visionary that if you add that prayer at the end of your rosary, it's even more powerful. So I would encourage, if you have rosary groups, to adopt Sister Marie into them and pray the prayer.
And I love the fact of her being linked to converting Muslim, or to working with Muslim, not even converting.
Absolutely. And there's one other connection, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who wrote the Memorare prayer that everybody loves so much and has such devotion to Mary. He received his vocation at the castle where Sister Marie was born in their church, St. John the Evangelist.
That's why it's so important. You can see all the connections.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's all there. Tell me.
Aaron, I have one concern. There are listeners,
yes,
quite a few, that aren't into internet.
They can write to us at Sister Marie Foundation. It's Post Box Office 275, Cold Spring Harbor, New York. That's Post Box Office 275, Cold, C-O-L-D, Spring Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, New York, 11724. And if they send a stamped envelope, we'd be very happy to send a prayer card to them. And any donations that come in will come back 100-fold from God.
Okay, that's great. Is there a phone number you can call for it?
We don't have a phone number for it.
Okay. I'm going to try to get a supply if I can.
Fabulous.
And I'll hand them out to any of our listeners that ask for them.
Excellent.
Okay. Even if they don't ask for it. I mean, why are you being so polite all of a sudden? I don't understand this. He child comes in and he tells me he gave away several hundred rosaries and 65 or 55 Bibles, and now he's being shy. If they ask.
And we also have the PDF if they do go on the sites, sistermarie.com. There are many languages that the prayer has already been translated into that would be very easy to print up as well.
I would like to get that prayer out there.
Thank you.
And I'm going to.
Absolutely. There and there's go. Probably there. People listening who want to do the same thing.
That's the Anthony I know.
Yes. Thank
Anthony,
you.
Anthony, you have a saint, an already approved saint that you have chosen for today. And Trevor, we're going to put on the background music. And Anthony, you're on stage.
Okay. Well, the saint is St. Gertrude the Great. And we've been putting off St. Gertrude the Saint for weeks upon weeks, and I could never figure out why. But, Aaron, you gave me the answer today, because today is the Immaculate Conception. And today, at 12 noon, with special prayers, will be an hour of grace.
Psalm 51 said three times, and the entire hour dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Now, I think that's why the Holy Spirit put me off with St. Gertrude. So let's talk a little bit about St. Gertrude.
Good idea.
St. Gertrude the Great was born on January 6th in 1256. Her feast day is November 16th. She's recognized as a saint by the Roman Catholic Church and is inscribed in the general Roman calendar for the celebration throughout the Roman Rite. But she really was never formally canonized as a saint, because in those days, they just didn't do it. It's not as formal as it is today. The 13th century was eventful, and for the world and for the Catholic Church, it was the era of St. Dominic, of St. Francis, St. Elizabeth of Hungary, St. Thomas of Aquinas, St. Bonaventure. They all bequeathed their wisdom and treasures to the Church as no other century before. And it was a century of saints and saints and more saints that of ordinary note. This great century was closed with the growing gift of the great and beautiful St. Gertrude. Although her history was little known, her name receives continual love for the souls in purgatory. That's what her love was for. Nothing is known about her parents, and it is thought that she was probably an orphan. As a young girl, she joined the Benedictine Monastery of St. Mary. She dedicated herself to her studies and becoming an expert in literature and philosophy. She later experienced a conversion to God and began to strive for perfection in her religious life, turning her scholarly talents to scripture and theology. Gertrude produced numerous writings, but only the Herald of God's Loving Kindness, which was also partially written by other nuns, became so famous. She had various mystical experiences, including the vision of Jesus, who invited her to rest her head on his breast to hear the beating of his heart and piercing of her heart with his divine love. In fact, she was a mystic who experienced mystical favors and numerous visions, which are recounted in her life. Our Lord also gave her extraordinary graces. She was so full of joy that she rather boldly but lovingly mentioned to our Lord that he had not assured her of favors by solemn contract of our Lord. And our Lord replied, "Do not complain of this approach and receive the confirmation of my promise." He then opened both his hands to reveal his heart and commanded Gertrude to extend her hands. Our Lord then promised to preserve the gifts he had given her. Saint Gertrude commented, "As I withdraw my hand, I perceive thereupon seven golden circles, the form of rings, one of each finger and three on the signet finger, which indicated that the seven privileges were confirmed to me as I asked." This mystical favor is commemorated by the church. She commented, "My Lord Jesus has espoused me to him with seven rings and crowned me as a bride." It's also said that Gertrude is invoked for poor souls in purgatory and for living sinners. Our Lord told St. Gertrude that following a prayer would reveal 1,000 souls from purgatory each time it is said. And I'll quickly say the prayer and end my story about St. Gertrude. Eternal Father, I offer thee the most precious blood of the divine Son Jesus in union with the masses throughout the world today. For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my home and within my family, amen. St. Gertrude's feast is observed worldwide on November the 16th. And that's the short, glorious story of St. Gertrude.
And I can see her smiling now that she finally got on the radio program. She's been waiting for 3 or 4 weeks.
Not only St. Gertrude, but our dear friend Lenny Massey is a very, very...
That's the prayer he shares.
He gives out those prayers
to everyone,
everywhere he goes.
Yep.
But you know what's fascinating to me is that these saints and these to-be saints are people just like you and I and everyone else. And that's so important.
Yes.
And you know, and God finds a way, like he came into Sister Marie and through the Spirit led her and through St. Gertrude led her and through our own lives. And we have Teresa with us today. And Teresa Augello has opened herself to God's love too as well. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Good
Hi,
to
Teresa.
See you.
Hi, Teresa.
Now, we'd like to know, first of all, how did you ever get into a relationship with God? What happened?
I feel I was always in a relationship with God. The point of my life that is very, that sticks out for me, if I will, is when I received communion. And we all left the church. I was in Catholic school, and we were all outside, and one of my teachers forgot something, and she had asked me to go back into the church and get it for her. And when I went back into the church, I was the only one in the church, and I was walking up the center aisle, and I saw a light beaming from the crucifix of Jesus' heart, and what I saw was it go right into my heart.
Yeah.
And just this exchange. And I was very young. I was in first grade, and I
and
just walked
personal.
Out. And I just always remember that scene in my mind. So that's where I think I started.
Well, and listen to the stories that you heard of the Sacred Heart touching the lives of people. He touched you at that moment.
Yes, yes.
It was almost like a preview of coming attractions.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So what happened in your life then?
And then, you know, I grew up, went to Catholic Church, had the, you know, I guess the normal life events. And then at 33 years old, a specific event happened in my life. And at that point, I knew I had to become closer to Jesus. And my life just made a dramatic change. You know, events in people's life happen all the time, and you could take one road or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I took this journey with Jesus that has just been beautiful. You know, sometimes we see tragedies as something bad. And by taking Jesus's road, at least for me, it's usually always something good. So that's how I started.
And now you journal every day?
Yes. At 33, I started
that.
Changing. I started going to retreats at Cor Maria Retreat House in Sag Harbor, going to prayer meetings. People were sent into my life, which taught me various things about Jesus. And I would journal every morning since 33. And one morning...
And now you're 97.
No,
she's not.
She's not quite our age. No.
I'm younger than you two guys.
She looks 23.
Thank you. Close. And anyway, I journaling every morning. And one morning, instead of me writing to Jesus, Jesus was writing to me.
Yeah.
Just an exchange.
You believe that? Yes.
Yes. Just an exchange.
Wonderful?
Yes.
I have one question.
Yes.
Wait, Tony, just before the...
and it actually started when I went to Curie of
That's
Ars.
That's my question.
Ivan from Medjugorje was speaking at the church, and 3 days after hearing him speak, that's when this exchange occurs. Yes.
Okay.
I knew that. That's
so
another gift.
So there's a connection
yes.
to Mary.
Yes. It was 3 days after hearing Ivan speak at Curie of Ars that this gift happened.
Wow. What are some of the things that he's teaching you?
He tells me a lot about what is to come. And at the time when I was at this exchange, there was, again, different events in my life that were causing some pain. And he was telling me about what is to come. And I didn't understand why Jesus wasn't addressing what was happening in my life. And what I heard later on in the years is that when Jesus isn't addressing what you're praying about and telling you what is to come, the thing you're worrying about is never going to occur. Mm-hmm. And anything in my life that I was concerned about at that time did not occur. Mm-hmm. None of it. It was all...
Can you share anything?
There
revelation?
Was...
Let it
keep it private.
Yeah. But okay. Beautiful, and it's too long to mention. Okay. But anything that I was ever concerned about or worried about has never, ever occurred.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
And now you use those words in prayer, don't you, with people?
Yes. Now what I'm doing... And I was on a silent retreat, and this other gift came in actually at the retreat. And I always pray that I am an open vessel to Jesus. And what I do now is that I'll meet with people, and I sit and I hold their hands, and I take out a rosary, and we say a little prayer, and then the Holy Spirit just comes into me, and I start speaking to this person about what's going on in their life, and a healing occurs. Usually something is said that is a life pattern of theirs that they always wanted to change, or a belief system that they had going on. And sometimes they cry, which tears are always healing. And usually when I'm meeting with this person, I'll get actual direction on how they should change their life, whether it be prayer or books to read. And I have seen them listen to the Holy Spirit, which I believe the Holy Spirit is in me working through me, because I wouldn't know any of this. And I have seen their lives take different paths.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And as you get those words, don't you feel like someone else is speaking through you?
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes I'll run into some of the people that I have worked with before, and they'll say, "Do you remember you said this?" And I really don't remember what I had said until they remind me. So mm-hmm. I know it's not from me. I wouldn't know all this.
You see, you have the same kind of gift I have, because that happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pray with people, I get words. And then they said, "Don't you remember you?" I don't remember.
No.
Even when I write what I hear, mm-hmm. and I forget it almost immediately. And then I look back and I said, "I wrote that?
Yes.
I wrote that?"
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happens to me when I'm writing. I'm just writing. And I'll look back at it maybe the next day and say, "Oh, how beautiful. Look at these words. This is really occurring." And Jesus in his words to me, a repeated sentence is, "I want you to heal my people." Mm-hmm. He says, "My people."
He's giving you the gift to hear.
Yes. "I want you to hear my people, and I will send my people to you." Mm-hmm. They'll just come to you. Who I send to you is who, you know.
He wants healed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I believe anybody who comes to me is from God.
Are you discerning any messages that you're getting?
In reference to what?
To check out the validity of what you're getting, the messages and
the words.
I think for the words, I think Palmer does. Do you discern?
I think what happens is that you feel mm-hmm. the peace
yes.
of God when he's there. You mm-hmm. don't feel
it's a presence right. that you feel.
And it gets confirmed later.
It does. And usually numerous times I'll get a confirmation.
Numerous times.
And in the morning, usually I start with opening the Bible, and it'll be a verse. Like today's verse was John 14:20.
Oh.
Yes, and you are me and I am you. Yeah. And that was today's verse. And then from that verse, that's when I'll start hearing my writings. Oh. Yeah, so that's
so
how
it's
usually...
linked into Scripture.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. That's how I'll start my morning prayer. And, you know, I love the Gospel of John.
You know,
that's my favorite gospel.
And so many people over the years have come to me with these kinds of gifts, mm-hmm. and I say, "I think I'm crazy because I
yes.
get these gifts."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "If you're crazy, then I am too."
Yeah.
But I'm the psychologist, so I think it's
there. He goes. There he goes.
But you know, you're not crazy.
Yeah.
You make time for God yes. every morning. The same as Sister Marie, and the same as St. Gertrude, the same as Ellen, the same as you, Tony, the same as I, same as Trevor.
We
all make time for God, and He finds the way to get into you.
Yes, and I'm just thinking of the story that I had called you when this gift has started, and you were in, I think, St. Agnes doing a...
Life in the Spirit seminar?
It was St. Margaret. She was being...
Okay,
and he, I had called him, and he was in the church, and he said, come on down with your book, with my writings, because I wanted to check my book out with Dr. Palmer. And do you remember this?
I do.
And he said to me, open to any page. And I opened to a page, and I read it, and he said, yes.
It's the same thing I'm getting.
Yes, it's the, yeah.
If you're, crazy, then we're both crazy. You know?
Yeah. That was recent. That was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the start. Yeah, yeah. I was writing a couple of years at that point.
And you can't plan anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have, I remember one time in my prayer life, all I kept on hearing were words about end times. And, oh, God, I don't want to. So I said, I'm not going to go. I don't want to listen. I'm not going to listen to this anymore. So I finally couldn't stay awake, and I went back, and I heard, whoever told you I was going to speak about end times today? How do you know what I'm ever going to say? You have no idea what I'm doing or what I'm saying. You don't even know me. You think you know me, but you really don't. Mm-hmm. You know the concept of me, but you don't know me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm teaching you as a person. That's what it's doing to you.
Yes, absolutely.
You have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. That's why you're here. That's what this show is all about.
Yeah, it's true. Yes. And I'm just
thinking, you're not afraid to talk about it.
No, and I'm just thinking in my own life, years and years ago, you know, being an anxious type of worried person, and how that has healed.
No.
And how that is healed in trusting Jesus, like really trusting Jesus. Like a lot of times I say to, maybe as we all do, you know, I love you, Jesus, with my heart, my mind, my soul. And then I heard someone say, do you really love Jesus? Do you really? Because when you really do, you're not worried. You're not anxious. You're at peace just knowing that He knows more than I know, and just trust and walk in that. And you, Tony, were speaking about surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally, you know, for me personally, I always like my own agenda. And I find
another Palmer.
Well, that's why we're friends. See how God puts people together. And a lot of times I'm praying for my own agenda, really, really praying for my own agenda at points. And then
you get annoyed when He doesn't
answer. And sometimes He doesn't, you know, God doesn't answer. And it's just in surrendering. And one day, finally, I was praying for, I'm telling you, a good 10 years for something to happen. And I realized it didn't happen. And at first I was a bit devastated. And then I said to myself, why didn't it happen? I trust God that He knows the plan for me. And I realized I was putting limits on God. Mm-hmm. I was really limiting Him as to what I was supposed to do with my life, because I thought I knew. And obviously it's very different, because here I am. And that was really a big revelation in my life, to finally really truly surrender. Let go and say, God, do with me what you want.
That's today's scripture. And that's the actual end of the gospel. And Mary says, be it done unto me according to thy will.
Yeah.
And and the sermon was on surrendering to the will of God in your life.
Was it?
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
So see how it works. There's your confirmation.
Because
isn't that what Mary, and isn't that what we're all called? That's what you're doing,
Aaron. Yeah,
I surrender.
Yeah, it's,
And
you can't run away from God.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and I have people who come to me, and just like you say, I offered the petition, and he's not answering. And then I had the word for one person, and the word was simply, you have asked for this 3,423 times. I'm already aware of your need. And if I were going to answer it that way for you, I would have answered. So for now, take no answer as being not yet or no.
Yeah.
But and now let's talk about something else. How about what I want you to work on and what I want you to change?
Yeah.
And, you know, And then He'll lead. He gives a prescription to people.
Exactly.
I get it in practice. I don't need any clients. I got enough clients.
Mm-hmm.
But what He does is that He leads and teaches and say, John, for my own personal life, John, do you really want to be doing that? Or if I'm doing something that I think he doesn't want me to do, he would say, if I didn't want you to do that, I wouldn't speak to you or I would tell you no. But I want you to do this. And I love what you said, because it's the exact same discernment I got. Because I asked, how do I know this is you?
Yes.
How do I know?
That's and he discerning.
Said the, and he said, the way you can know, when I say something and you don't believe it, I will come back and say it again stronger and louder until you finally believe that I am telling you what is so. And if it's not from me and you disregard the words, you will never hear that answer again.
It's true, because it does get repeated even in my writings. And like you said, Dr. Parma, I do get specific prescriptions for the people I'm working with. Very, very specific as to what they need to do. And it just comes right through, and I'll say it. And the people who do really do it, they'll call me back and say, I can't believe what you said. It really is happening. My life. I'm hearing Jesus more. My life is changing. This is what's happening. I did get a job promotion. Like you, this is really what people are saying to me.
And when you get discouraged and you're really down the dumps because it's not working out, he'll send other people to you, and all of a sudden he'll change your mind. And he even said to me, you know, I really have a plan for you, and I thank you for offering me advice about what I should do, but I really don't need your help.
And, it's true.
He's got a great sense of humor, and he'll make you laugh you're open. And that's how you know it's for real. How you know it's for real. Go ahead.
Well, I sense Jesus' sense of humor, but I know he has a very large sense of humor with you.
He's that's only because he knows I'm crazy. But he does, and he does. And in the midst of the worst pain, he will come through with stuff that will make me just laugh.
But that's a sign of a good friend. That's what I wanted to tell you. That's a sign of a good friend. When he makes you laugh and he makes light of things. And
you know, I don't want the... Trevor, don't go away. Can you put on number two? No, I'm sorry. Number five. Because, Teresa, just building out of what you have said, and with Medjugorje in mind, I have the musical group from Medjugorje singing in English, Heal Me. And I'd like us all for now... think of the petitions of all the people that have written into us. And let's join hands here and in our mystical ways invite healing. You can turn it up, Trev. Jesus, we place ourselves in your presence and we ask you to answer what's in the heart of every listener right now. Whatever their most deep felt need is, Lord, do what we sing in the song. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your healing grace. And the song group for Medjugorje means Mary is here too. And Mary, thank you for interceding for our listeners and blessing them and bringing their petitions more forcefully before the voice and the heart of Jesus and God the Father. And now through the power of the Holy Spirit over these radio airwaves, Lord, we know your grace-filled healing love is touching hearts right now. Praise you, Lord, and we thank you for being with us. And thank you for the light-hearted violin in the background, lifting the spirits of those who may be down a bit at Christmas time because their prayers are not being answered their way. Let them let go of their way and receive your way for their healing, Lord. Your way, Lord, as in today's scripture, be it done unto each listener and according to your will as they learn to surrender to you, Lord. Praise you and thank you, Lord. We pray now for the physical healing of some of our listeners, Liz and others, who have various diseases. We thank you for the healing of the two women with fourth stage cervical cancer and who have been healed miraculously, not through us, but by your grace, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for being here. Thank you for Aaron and for Teresa and even for Tony, Lord. I gotta thank you for him. I really do. I work on him in my heart, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for all the healings that you've done in our petitions. All the people that you've healed, all the people that were depressed, all the people that were looking for jobs, all the people that were sick. We give you praise and glory and thanks, Jesus. And we ask that you bless our listeners and welcome back to all our shows. Thank you, Jesus.
And of course, Mary, thank you for being here. And Trevor, we're just going to replay that again. Go back off the air with that because it's just such a lovely, lovely way to end the program through the intercession of Mary, through the intercession of Sister Marie, through the intercessor of St. Gertrude, through Teresa's blessing us with her openness today and sharing, being willing to be as crazy as I am, Lord, and share her gift. It's such a wonderful, wonderful Christmas season that we want to be open to healing throughout this entire Christmas time.
And thank you for bringing Palmer into my life, Jesus. He's changed my life tremendously. Thank you.
I don't know about that. I think you just got to get a life. Heal our listeners, Lord. Even heal Trevor with his hat on in there. Praise you, Lord, and thank you. And for listeners who don't know, Trevor is our wonderful engineer who has been with us, Trevor, believe it or not, for 100 shows. You know, I saw you in your wheelchair this morning coming in. Praise you, Lord, and we thank you. And we're into Advent. We're preparing for Christmas. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for being our guest in our hearts today on this program and for leading us. We pray for our listeners. We go off with a prayer for healing. Listen to these words, listeners, and let God touch you.
With your precious blood, you've shed for us.